On the face of it, do you think this will end up being a better deal for passengers or a worse deal for passengers?
Well, you know, I think there are good and bad news, you know, in this report that we're finding out later today. We have, you know, the admission that fares are too complicated. We've had a real sense, you know, passengers are really kind of baffled by the wide array of tickets on offer, and we have a commitment to reviewing the kind of fare structure. So that's some good news.
But didn't we only review that about a year ago?
Exactly. So we've had these reviews before, and they haven't always helped simplify things. And what we need to see is a root and branch review that really does kind of address the underlying problems of this complexity. But as you were just discussing, there are some real concerns here around, you know, peak time and just after the rush hour and what that could mean in terms of slightly higher prices just then. And as we know, we're actually, commuters already pay some of the highest fares in the world, and fares are actually due to rise by 28% over the next 3 years. So people are already paying so much to travel around in this country, and especially to get into work, especially in London. So I do think it's really difficult for people to be targeted for any further fare rises on a commuter fares, and it's simply not sensible for people who have to get to work, who don't have that choice about when they arrive at work.
Although maybe the government have a point, because as we heard from Sim Harris from Rail News, the numbers of people travelling by train has gone up 6% in 1 year recently, even during a recession. Maybe actually people need to have these price rises. It's all about a capitalist society, and you charge what you can. It's supply and demand.
Well, I think it comes down to a question of what are our railways for? Are they being run to suit the needs of passengers, to bring wider social benefits, environmental benefits, or are we moving towards a kind of more commercial railway that's run, you know, more as a business, more to suit the convenience of the operators? And that's, I think, going to become clearer, and you know, as the government responds to this report, obviously these are just recommendations, and we're going to see a response to that. And obviously we like to see, you know, the environmental benefits, the social benefits, and really, you know, railways being run and funded properly as an essential public service.
One of the things that we've heard there is that the government have accepted the idea that a billion pounds of savings could be made by 2018 without cutting services. I mean, do you worry that that will simply be taken from the investment the government put into to the fare box?
Well, I think the fact that these kinds of savings have been identified can be seen as good news. And what we want to see is that at least some of those savings get passed on to passengers, that it's not just going to benefit companies and benefit, you know, the reduction in the government subsidy that they're seeking to make. So we do need to see those passed on to passengers. And there are possible ways that these can be made without necessarily targeting passengers. And, you know, passengers have been targeted with fare rises for too long now, and it's certainly not what we should be seeing here. So things like local control of the railways, you know, greater cooperation between track and train, these are ways that we could see some savings being made without service cuts and fare rises.